Who want to smoke? We want to smoke. Who want to smoke? We want to smoke. Who want to smoke? We want to smoke.
X marks the spot. Spotify.
X marks the spot, got competition in the headlock. Randy Savage with the flow, but with a Hogan leg drop. From Bangkok to New York, Alabama to Shatown. Independent and pro, we talking it on the chat now. So sat down and hear Stacks lay the smackdown. Move your smart ass tricks and he don't never back down. What all elite top is mixed with honor and backs our stream. Got fans in Japan and gorillas on my team. So please follow me for the live broadcast. X marks the spot, the wrestling podcast. X marks the spot, the wrestling podcast. X marks the spot, the wrestling podcast. Here comes the
What up, you smart ass bitches? What y'all doing over there, man? Y'all on the internet complaining about something? Are you complaining about Roman Reigns' new teethus? Or maybe you're complaining about the Thunderdome. Matter of fact, no, y'all been showing y'all ass on that Thunderdome, but I ain't even gonna talk about that shit now. But let me get back to my usual intro. How that shit goes, I ain't did it in so long. Welcome, good smart brother. Nah, fuck all that shit, man. It's your boy, Saxon Homie. This X marks a spot, and I've realized I've been quite inconsistent with this podcast shit, and I haven't been active on Twitter like I said I would be. Like, I lied. I fucking lied. I just took that Eddie Guerrero shit to heart, but I've been lying like a motherfucker. But man, honestly, you know, it's hard to do. See, when you, it's hard to talk about wrestling when you're doing this shit now. And I guess the difference between me and a lot of these podcasts out there is when I watch wrestling now, I'm not even watching it as a fan anymore. I done took the fandom out of it. I'm looking at it from a worker standpoint, not a wrestler standpoint, but a worker, because that's what I thrive to be. So it ain't all about the cool ass boom, 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 flippity floppity shit. That shit cool, you know, as long as it, you know, have some type of meaning to it. Like, yes, that's where I am with it. I've turned into a fucking Black Cornet. Minus the politically incorrect jokes and all that shit, but it's different. So I was going to talk about all type of shit this week. Like, I was going to talk about Roman Reigns, you know, how he got a bag and fixed his teeth, all that good shit, and, you know, people saying he's turning heel and everybody just busting all type of nuts because they think they're finally getting what they want. With me personally, I think it's just going to be a Stone Cold type deal, which is cool too. And, you know, people, I know a lot of people done talked about the Thunderdome, which is, I will say, aesthetically, it looks amazing. But, you know, fans, you know, y'all don't know how to act, man. Y'all be on that bullshit. And I ain't even gonna talk about the old fucked up shit y'all been doing on that Thunderdome, but it's an amazing concept. Hope they keep doing it, even though y'all motherfuckers trying to ruin every fucking thing. But that's enough about that shit. It's just so much shit going on, and I could just talk about a whole bunch of shit, and maybe I will in the future. But today, I'm taking it back to my fucking roots. Maybe not my roots, because I was angry as fuck back then, but like kind of like end of last year going into this year type shit when I start having fun with the shit. So I've been thinking about this topic for a long ass time, and I know with wrestling going back, or WWE going back to its TV-14 ratings, you know, it got a lot of people saying like, oh shit, we finally having the Attitude Era again. Attitude Era is coming back. Me personally, the Attitude Era can stay where the fuck it is in the damn past. Like, sorry, y'all know I gotta drink my water because I'm motherfucker thirsty. Just like how y'all motherfuckers be thirsty at these damn women wrestling. Nah, I'm going off top. I'm digressing again. But yeah, the Attitude Era can stay where the fuck it is. Like, honestly, like, it was cool back then, you know, when we was teenagers, but, you know, we grown. Like, I'm grown. I'm in my fucking 30s. I don't want to see two women rolling around in jello and shit no more. We done with that shit. I don't care about all the fucked up shit they said back then. Because for one, like, that shit wouldn't fly. Like, you know, fart jokes and shit was funny back when I was fucking 13. But, you know, I just want to watch wrestling again. So, that being said, since I'm saying the Attitude Era can say what the fuck it is, I want to talk about what would be like the greatest year in Attitude Era. Now, the Attitude Era can... it ranges from late 96, somewhere in 97, all the way until 2001. And to me, the Attitude Era started dying down, like, around the year 2000 and all that shit. So, although it's still considered the Attitude Era, I think the most crucial year of the Attitude Era had to be in the 1998 neighborhood. Like, 1998 was a fucking crazy year. Not just in WWF, but like in wrestling in general, like with the Monday Night Wars and all that shit, factions. You had NWO, you had NWO Wolfpack. I was Team Wolfpack because, you know, red and black, that's my shit. And plus, I was a Kevin Nash guy. So that's that. But as far as WWF concerned, like 1998 was a big ass year. And I've compiled some of my favorite moments of 1998. You know, it's a rather short. No, short-term things of short moments. Let me get my words together. You know, it should be more moments, but, you know, this is just all I can think of because, you know, I'm not going on fucking Sports Keita. I'm going in this fucking brain. So I'm essentially trying to think about some shit that happened 22 years ago. So it ain't going to be all details. So the fucking moments I do name, that's just what stuck out. And I've done talked to y'all too damn long. Let me just fucking hop right into it. So you can't talk about the Attitude Era without talking about the fucking rise and the reign of fucking Austin 316. Like, Austin 316 was running wild. Like, this was after, you know, we needed something after Hogan. So Austin 316, like, I should be a little more lit discussing that just because we all know how important Stone Cold Steve Austin was to the Attitude Era. And, you know, he was a babyface, but he wasn't a babyface. Like, he's essentially a heel, but he kept doing, like, he was so fucking cool with it and shit. Like, he made us hate Bret Hart. That's how good fucking Stone Cold was. But we hated Bret Hart ass. Like, I was happy when he popped out in the ambulance and started whooping on his ass. Like, that's how good Stone Cold was. So, and that shit really started picking up for him in 1998 when he won the championship. So Austin 316 can't talk about the Attitude Era without talking about Stone Cold Steve Austin. And if you're gonna bring up Stone Cold Steve Austin, you gotta bring out his number one fucking arch nemesis, fucking Vince McMahon, or just going by Mr. McMahon at the time. Honestly, that's what made that shit pop. 316 pop. Like, behind every big baby face, like, whoever fucking baby face have a long ass run, it's that one fucking heel that's putting them over and all that shit. Like, you know, there would be no Hulkamania without the fucking Iron Sheik. So there would be no Stone Cold or no Austin 316 type shit. Or definitely wouldn't, I don't think it would have got big as it is without Mr. McMahon. Like, he is just like the number one guy, even though Stone Cold had like some good ass matches with a lot of people. Well, you could also say if it wasn't for The Rock as well, like The Rock was his number one nemesis. But what got that shit popping from the get go was Mr. McMahon. So anytime you see a motherfucker whooping their boss ass, no wonder you're going to have a strong fan base. Like, who wouldn't want to slap the shit out of their damn boss? I can't say that because, you know, being a former teacher and all that shit, all my bosses were like women. So that's extremely frowned upon. And I would never advocate those type of actions. Like, whoop a motherfucker ass for touching a woman. So this man, he played a pivotal role in the Attitude Era too, especially around that 1998 year, because who else did you hate him more than that motherfucker? Like, this motherfucker was, I'm getting mad thinking about it now. But taking a dip into some not so fond memories of 1998, I gotta talk about the fucking Brawl for All. Now, this shit shouldn't have made on there at all, but like, it just stands out in my mind so fucking much. Like, these motherfuckers like really boxing, and, you know, being a boxing guy too, like for one, like man, these motherfuckers' stance was so fucking terrible. Like if you blew on these motherfuckers, they would have tipped over. Like you could tell these motherfuckers weren't no boxers. And after watching Dark Side of the Ring, when you find out that he did all this shit just to see JBL get his ass whooped, it's kind of like, yeah, okay. But back then, I ain't care for it because I ain't really, you know, I ain't want to watch no boxing when I watch wrestling. Like, I watch boxing, I watch boxing. I want my two worlds to cross over, and that's what it fucking did. And all I can say is, y'all know what happened. Bart Gunn won, and never seen or heard from him again. So, Brawl for All, I ain't gonna say it did what it did, because that shit, it was very unnecessary, but I fucks with it nonetheless, and Raw Underground is Raw Underground. So, like I said, you know, my shit don't be in, like, no type of order. So, another thing that intrigued me about 1998 was the debut and the fast rise of one Val Venus. Now, when they showed this motherfucker's vignettes, like, you looking like, the fuck a damn porno star, like saying all type of shit, like he just had like the biggest thing in the world. But I was kind of looking like, probably not. I shouldn't have been thinking about that, but you know, when you put the shit out there, you know, you got to think about it. I just know a motherfucker came out with a towel, shaking his ass like he is Rick Rude and all that shit. Except he's a little more extra with his shit than Rick Rude was, and Val Venus was a motherfucker. Like he probably literally was a motherfucker. Like he probably really fucked somebody's mom. But this motherfucker could not keep his shit in his pants. Like he fucked everybody. Like fucking hide your wife. Shit, this motherfucker right here. He fucking Ken Shamrock's sister. He done fucking. He fucked kayfabe fuck. Of course he k-fucked Yamaguchi-san wife. Almost got a dick chopped off, but he was saved by a man who had his dick chopped off, and he didn't want to see another man get his dick chopped off, so he stopped him from getting his dick chopped off. Dick chopped off. But yeah, that was a wild-ass storyline. But what kind of made me mad about Val Venus, like what kind of pissed me off about him was when he K-fucked Terry Runnels, the wife of Dustin Runnels, and, you know, Goldust. Well, Dustin Runnels was going through this thing in 1998 when he was going through a change. He is real biblical. He's a good guy. He burned his gold dust costume. He's just an honest guy. And then Val Venus came out of nowhere and just fucked his wife. Like he fucked her. Like he put his penis in her. Like it's fucking crazy. And I just wasn't rocking with him for that. Like I know he was a baby face, but he was doing some heel shit. Now it was funny. Fucking all the heels, family members and all that shit, but when you're fucking such an honest person like Dustin Runnels' wife, Terry Runnels, I'm not even sure if that's a K-fuck, that might have been a regular fuck, but I digress. That drew the line with me, that drew the line in the sand right there, like I wasn't fucking with Val Venus no fucking more. And when Goldust returned at Judgment Day, which I was in attendance, that shit right there was my shit. Like, it's like you had a baby face against another baby face, but shit, like, it's fucking Goldust. Like, and then at Judgment Day, he's like, hello, ladies. And Goldust said, hello, Val. And came out and did the Shattered Dreams, kicked them in the nuts and all that shit. Hey, I rejoiced. That's my first time. I rooted against Val Venus. So, fuck him for doing that shit. But taking another twist, we're going to go into the Foley is good. Not God, but good. Because I ain't saying nobody's God. Not even Foley said that. But Mick Foley had a hell of a run. Especially that damn Mankind shit like in 98. Like Mick Foley was that deal. Like he done switched his shit up. He wore a shirt and tie with the leggings and all that shit. And he eventually started wearing jogging pants. That's a good year for him. Had Mr. Socko. And what made the shit pop even more was that fucking King Hell in the Cell match he had at King of the Ring. Now, I probably talked about this shit 1,000 times before, and I don't need to talk about it much. Like, y'all know how that fucking match went. And my highlight of the match is not even him falling off the cage or falling through the cage and all that shit. My favorite moment from that match was fucking Terry Funk getting chokeslammed out of his shoes. Like, this motherfucker got chokeslammed all out of his Air Monarchs. They might have been Skechers. I don't know. I think they have Velcro on them. But whatever it was, he got chokeslammed out them motherfuckers. And that shit made me forget about the whole match. It made me forget about whether Mankind was alive or dead. Like, I just stopped caring no more because I just see fucking shoes, a pair of Skechers, in the middle of the fucking ring. Like, that's fucking amazing. So, like, that whole match, the show was stolen. Like, not from the Hell in the Cell match, but from Terry Funk's granddaddy shoes being in the ring because he got chokeslammed out them shits. So, shout out to Terry Funk and them old-ass shoes. another thing about 1998 was we saw the debut of Edge. Notice I'm moving quite swiftly, like I got some shit to do today. I have nothing to do because I'm a wrestling fan. But, yeah. Edge made his debut. We seen the young Edge. We seen vignettes about Edge. You know, kind of, you think you know me. You think you know me. Just a motherfucker in the dark with some neon shits going on, wearing a long-ass leather jacket. He would be, like, at the top of the bleachers and all that shit. But we finally seen his ass in his first match. He came out through the crowd. Blase, blase. This motherfucker did, like, a top rope plancha on the poor member. I forget which one it was. One of them. Los Bariquas. One of them motherfuckers. I probably said that shit all wrong. But I want to say maybe Jesus Gonzalez. Like, I think whichever one was the hairy ass motherfucker. They had a real hairy motherfucker in that group. So he landed on the hairy motherfucker after the top rope plancha. And, like, kind of think he fucked up his neck or some shit. Like, he had to retire because of that shit. So, you know, Edge's debut kind of started off on a fucked up note, and that's all I gotta say about that. Like, you know, I ain't know that he would eventually grow up to be the fucking, you know, that motherfucker in professional wrestling, but, you know, it was refreshing to see. Like, it wasn't refreshing to see him, you know, break a motherfucking neck, but, you know, it's refreshing to see what has become of that. And along with Edge, fucking Christian also debuted in 1998. His first match was at Judgment Day, which, again, I attended, so fuck y'all, you haters. His first match was against Taka Michinoku, and his first match, he won the light heavyweight championship, and Edge was chilling off in the bleachers doing his thing, and we all know what became of that as far as Edge and Christian go. But if I'm going to talk about Edge and Christian, I got to talk about the Brood. And if I'm going to talk about the Brood, I got to talk about Gangrel. And if I'm talking about Gangrel, I'm talking about that fire-ass entrance music. Now, y'all know that was the shit. That was my shit. 1998, man. Fucking Gangrel entrance music, boy. That's the fucking soundtrack of 1998. Wrestling the fucking nut. That's a bang shit on this table. That's how you know this shit was real. But Gangrel has some... Man, that music was fire as fuck. I don't remember shit from a Gangrel match outside of him spitting blood before the match. But that fucking music... Hey, that just goes to show you, man. You got some fire-ass music, you'll forever be relevant. Speaking of relevance, 1998 was, outside of the whole Stone Cold thing, is also like factions and all that shit. Like I said, we had NWO, Wolfpack, but on the WWF side, we had one of the hottest fucking faction feuds going on, and y'all know what the fuck I'm talking about. I'm talking about fucking DX versus The Nation. That was my summer of 1998, and I was Team DX all the way through. I loved DX and hated The Nation so much that I did not care, I didn't even think about the fact that DX came out there in blackface and did that shit. Now, I'm appalled now, but back then, I wasn't appalled at all. I was just a motherfucker who watched wrestling, and I liked who I liked, and I liked DX. I fucking hated The Nation. Like, you would think, like, now, if they did some shit like that, of course, I'd be Team Nation, but I don't know, man. DX was just so... You know, The Nation was serious. I was 12 and 13. I wasn't serious with 98. Okay, I was 12, so I wasn't serious. So, of course, I'm going to lean towards the motherfuckers saying dick jokes and talking about big-ass titties and shit. Of course, I'm going to go with them. So, that's all that was. It wasn't none personal. Wasn't no self-hatred going on. I'm black and I'm proud. I say that shit loud. Black Lives Matter. Fuck what y'all talking about. But at 12, big-ass titties mattered, so... It kind of matters still to this day, but I'm a little woke What the fuck? I be tweaking. I see why I don't be doing this shit every week, bro. I am not right. But yes, DX in the Nation. That's the hottest shit going on to me. Like, Triple H was my guy. Like, I bought that fucking DX videotape on my 13th birthday. Thinking I was going to see a whole bunch of titties. I'm going to say titties a lot in this segment. But, I mean, I seen some titties. No, the titties wasn't all that. But, there's a little bit of titties in the DX videotape. But them titties they had on there wasn't exactly titty and stuff. Other than that, it's a pretty good videotape, man. I'm sorry, man. Y'all just got to bear with me, man. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and take a break right now because I done said titties way too many times. And who knows? They might shut my shit down. So I'm going to go ahead and take a break, and I'm going to come back and holler at y'all about some more shit. So enjoy this short-ass break. All right, I'm back. Now, what the fuck I was talking about again? Oh, yeah. The DX versus the Nation feud. Hot shit, hot shit. Shout out to DX. Team DX all the way. Shout out to the Nation too, but hey, titties. But the height of that damn DX and Nation feud, you know, kind of led to one of the greatest ladder matches of all time, which was The Rock versus Triple H at SummerSlam 1998 for an Intercontinental Championship. Now, let me take that. I should have drunk this water before, but fuck it. That damn, see, SummerSlam 1998, that's probably, like, to me, that's one of my favorite pay-per-views. Like, just because the summer of 98 was so fucking, you know, that shit was on fire, man. Like, for real, like, WWF Attitude Era 1998 leading up to SummerSlam, like, all that hot shit going on, even, like, The Undertaker and Stone Cold feud. All that shit was cool, man. Everybody had a storyline. Fucking the Oddities was another one of my favorite factions. But that fucking SummerSlam 98, man. Like I said, my favorite match was the ladder match. But that shit right there, like, I can't even. Like, 1998 just had, like, a lot of good-ass pay-per-views in general. Like, for real. And, you know, if you want to, like, talk about the pay-per-views of 1998, like, you know, of course, every year start off with the Royal Rumble, but to me, that shit kicked off at WrestleMania 14, which is one of my favorite WrestleManias, because it's one of the few that I actually seen live, aside from the one that I went to. The only WrestleManias I seen live, like, in action was 14, fucking 20, shout out to Yusef, if you know, you know, fucking... Shut the fuck, 27, and I was scamming and jamming to get that shit, and fucking 34, like, those are the only WrestleMania I seen, like, live, and I seen WrestleMania 34, like, because I was fucking there, but anyway, like, WrestleMania 14, one of my favorite matches was Triple H versus Owen Hart. You know, the show, like, everybody say, you know, Stone Cold and Shawn Michaels, you know, Mike Tyson, you know, all that shit, you know, that shit is fire too, but it's just something about that Triple H and Owen Hart match, like, because they had China handcuffed to fucking Sergeant Slaughter. And she still found a way to fucking hit Owen Hart in the nuts and cost him the match. And she threw powder in Sergeant Slaughter's face. Well, she whooped Sergeant Slaughter's ass. Well, she hit his ass and threw him over the barricade while she's still handcuffed to him. And that's just, that's like, if you ever seen the live castration on television, that's exactly what the fuck that shit was. But WrestleMania 14, like, kicked that shit off. And, of course, my favorite pay-per-view of 1998, because, you know, I was there, too, when I was a kid, it was fucking Judgment Day. And that show, to me, like, top to bottom, like, fucking Mark Merrill and Jackie versus Sable and whoever the fuck her partner was at the time. So, as much I be paying attention, I was just looking at Jacqueline fine ass. Sable was fine, too. X-Pac against D'Lo Brown. You know, my brother Kyle, he was an X-Pac guy, so, you know, he's happy to see him. So we see that nigga do the jumping crotch chop, because, hey, that was the shit in 1998, a jumping crotch chop. You know, if you was limber enough to hit it with the splits, hey, more power to you. But, and what else happened? Mark Henry versus The Rock. The Rock then got kicked out the Nation. The fuck, I want to say Al Snow was in this shit, too. I don't know who he went against. Matter of fact, it wasn't Jacqueline versus Sable. It was fucking Al Snow went against Mark Merrill. That's why Jacqueline was there. I don't even think Sable was there. But anyway, yes, Al Snow was the deal too, because everybody wants to say they got hit and all that shit. So it's just a good ass show. And of course, Vince McMahon came out there, fired Stone Cold, and my neighbor Sharon said, "Fuck you, Vince," and everybody looking like, "Did this little girl just say the F word?" Yes, she did. But yeah, I had a DX foam hand that stayed with me all the way until I was in my 20s. I used to hide my cigarettes in there. Yeah, but anyway, yes, I hid my cigarettes in my DX foam hand when I was in high school. I mean, what y'all thought, that shit was just up there? I mean, DX ain't been around in fucking years, and I had that shit just chilling up there. But DX just always served its purpose with me. Shout out to being a teenage rebel smoking with cigarettes. And the fuck, I always go off the script with this shit, man. That's why I'm just, journalism just not my strong suit, man. That's why, you know, if you suck at journalism, start a fucking podcast. And if you suck at podcasts, start a wrestling podcast. So shout out to everybody. But yes, Judgment Day, Undertaker had a shitload of pyros, scared the shit out of people. I think somebody shit themselves that night. I don't know. I smelt something in the air. You know what I mean? You know, in the 90s, it seemed like Smart Marks, they ain't smell as bad as they did now. Back then, you know, you kind of smelt, you know, Axe body wash and Dial soap in the crowd. But now they just said, fuck everything. I'm just going to go ahead and bathe with this onion and go ahead and go out there and boo people. That's all they do, man. Man, y'all know I talk about Smarks hygiene all the damn time. It still don't make no sense now, man. You stink. You're funky as hell. Throw some soap in your ass. All right, so anyway, moving along. I'm about to wrap this shit up soon, man. I'm sorry, y'all. No, I'm not sorry. Kiss my ass. But the last pay-per-view of 1998 was Survivor Series. And that was a good way to end 1998 because, you know, that's when The Rock won the championship. Unfortunately, he did it in a way, like, you know, he joined a corporation. So, it was like, oh, yeah. And I'm like, oh, fuck this motherfucker bad again. Like, we're just getting used to him being good again, being a baby face. And he went back to his old shit. But this time he sold out. The people's eyebrow, the corporate eyebrow. The people's elbow, the corporate elbow. Like, the fuck, Rock. But that motherfucker had good hair and his damn loud ass shirts was fire. So that's that. But my thing about the Survivor Series that year, I know Triple H was supposed to be in it, but he wasn't because Ken Shamrock, bitch ass, had fucking fucked his leg up some more in the damn car on the Sunday Night Heat episode before Judgment Day. And he kind of ruined my shit because, you know, that's my first time seeing Triple H. Granted, it's like the back of his head, the way I see it was, you know, but just knowing that he was out there and the fact I got to say suck it, and, you know, on TV with everybody, which is crazy. Another thing is, when you hear the motherfucker say suck it on TV, that shit sound all clean and crisp and right on time. But when you in that motherfucking arena, that shit is kind of scattered and it sound fucking terrible. I'm over here thinking I'm just finna have it in unison. Suck it, you know, with the 1-2. But that shit says suck it. Like, it's a terrible experience. So the way it's very overhyped. But anyway, Triple H was supposed to be in it. He wasn't. It's a fucking tournament, and what killed me about that tournament was, of course, you're going to see the same motherfucker all day, every day, and to the point where you ain't going to get no fucking reaction, because, you know, the initial reaction, like, yeah, yeah, fuck yeah, The Rock, but then the last match, you're like, oh, here comes The Rock, you know, what he going to do? So, man, that's how bad it was, like, reaction-wise. I remember that shit's in St. Louis, and I'm thinking, like, man, St. Louis ain't no shit. I'll be cheering the whole fucking time, but I get it, you know, you get tired of seeing the same motherfucker every day, but it did what it did. The Rock became the champion and started one of the fucking greatest runs of all time, one of the greatest fucking feuds of all time. It went into 1999. That's some different shit right there. 1999 is a whole nother beast. Matter of fact, I'm going to probably talk about 1999 the next episode. I don't know, because some cool ass shit happened in 99 too, but I will get into that shit right there. I'm just going to go ahead and end that shit right now. 1998 was a good fucking year. Y'all should agree with me, but if you don't, well, fuck you, like Yo Gotti said. But that's all I got for y'all, man. Thank y'all for listening. I'm gonna try to be more consistent with y'all, man. I mean, it's hard, you know, when you're creative and you try to think of some fire ass shit to do. Like, I could easily be lazy and come on this bitch and just to be talking about shit, just to be talking about it, but I don't, man. I've put a lot of thought into this shit, and that's why it don't really haven't been getting a lot of shit out of me, like, consistently these few weeks, but I'm gonna try. I'm gonna make a pact to put out episode, at least 3 episodes, and, like, you know, every week or whatever. Like, not 3 episodes a week, but, like, the next 3 weeks. But y'all get the fuck I'm saying, man. I ain't perfect. I'm just a wrestler. I mean, podcast host. I hate to break down the fourth wall, but anyway, listen to my shit on Apple Podcasts. Like my shit. Subscribe to my shit. Leave a comment, a review under my shit. Tell me what you want to hear, what you don't want to hear. I don't give a fuck, but do it anyway. Follow me on Spotify. Real ones know. Shout out to Mario. There's your name drop. Listen to me on Anchor. Put a gold star on my shit. Favor my shit. Leave me a fucking voice message. Do something. Listen to me on shit. Whatever the fuck you hear a podcast. It's fucking Google X Marks a Spot. Google Stacks the Homie Smart Camera, whatever. And click on whatever the fuck they fucking lead you to, unless they lead you to like an OnlyFans or a Pornhub account. I mean, I ain't mad at it, but that ain't my lane. So thank y'all for listening again. I love y'all. Fuck y'all. Follow me on Twitter, Smart Henry, World's Strongest Smart. Y'all still scared. Y'all bitches don't want to holler at me about no shit, because you know I'm going to whoop your ass any type of wrestling trivia. Shout out to that one motherfucker that listened to me on Overcast. Announce yourself. I know you listening. Announce yourself. Holler at me. Gimmick Minute. Fucking Life's a Botch. My guys. VCW. Wrestling Family. All that good shit. Just shout out to wrestling in general. Shout out to all these indie shows opening back up. Y'all be safe out there. Fuck what everybody talking about. I'm out. Bye, bitches.